Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, December the 7th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are noting in the Big Book the suggested asterisk there on page 47, following paragraph 2, will take us to page 567, the appendix to spiritual experience. And it begins with the terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening, ending that principle, content prior to investigation, by Herbert Spencer, and comments on the whole chapter. Today's readers are Alex K. for the 12 steps, Davalyn E. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of the text are Lorraine N. and Sherry Z. The share ID for Tuesday, yesterday, December the 6th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,711. That's 19711. And for this morning meeting, Wednesday, December 7th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,720. That's 19720. Let me see. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, everyone. Alex from California, compulsive eater. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thank you, Alex K. And now I'll ask Davalyn E. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Davalyn.
Good morning, Mo. This is Davalyn E. from Manitoba, Canada, living joyfully and gratefully in recovery for today. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Well, thank you very much, Davelin E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except speakers should be muted. And today we are going to, from the bottom of page 47, it takes us to an asterisk, and the asterisk is on page 567, Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. Starts with the term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening, and it ends with that principle, contempt prior to investigation, by Herbert Spencer, and the comments on all. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to get us started. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Good morning, my fellows. What a wonderful opportunity for me to read this selection from the Big Book. Spiritual experience. Terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety. because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. Well, thank you for hanging in there for that long reading this morning. That's such a beautiful reading. This was my ticket into OA. And because I did not have a sudden, overwhelming spiritual experience. For me, it's been a slow educational variety, as it mentions here. And by following this 12 steps in this big book, every day, slowly but surely, I have begun to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence in my life, or higher power's presence, or whatever you want to call that. And the blocks are all of those character flaws that are mentioned throughout: the selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, anger. For me, is huge. And still, I mean, I am a work in progress for sure. I am not finished. I'll never be finished. And for me, every now and then, I have these wonderful little awakenings, these moments that, and lately I've felt very connected to my higher power, which is just lovely. It's not always like that. Sometimes I, you know, struggle to connect. But, you know, I'm learning to let go of that too, the struggle. I know it's always there. And so, yes, there's been a profound alteration in the way I look at life and the way I'm learning to respond to life rather than react to it. And it's just been through the help of this program and turning my will over it every day to a power that I don't understand that is working beautifully in my life. So it was a long passage. I'll keep it short, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what everyone else has to say about this. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lorraine Ann, for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 567, reading the entire chapter of Spiritual Experience. And so I will now take the names of those who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Monday or Tuesday, please pass today and then go tomorrow. So who would like to share?
Margo.
I got Margo. Last
Brandy.
Initial, Brandy.
Audrey N.
Audrey M.
Betsy O.
Betsy O.
Karen H.
Karen H. I can take one more. If not, we'll get going. I have Margo, Brandy. I didn't get your last initials. Audrey M., Betsy O., and Karen H. Let's go with that group. Please tell us what state you are from. Thank you, and time zone. Thank you.
Hi, Margot B. here, Compulsive Overeater, New York. Just really grateful for the meeting. Thank you, everyone. And for me, as always, it's just educational variety, and then all this anger and rage, like, ugh, why did that take so long? And then I remember crawling into these rooms. I wish you very slow and steady recovery or something like that. I'm like, yeah, right. And I guess for me, it comes about layers upon layers upon layers, and then constantly working this step and constantly growing in my relationship with my higher power so that I can let things go more readily. And I want someone to come up to me and say, wow, you are like such a different person, you know? But nobody's doing that. I think that for myself, I realizing that like the big, you know, first for me, it was the food, right? And learning the boundaries. And then it just was translated into internal boundaries, external boundaries, which I still struggle with. And then just keep working these steps. So for the emotional sobriety, recognizing that if I'm getting triggered, no amount of food, first layer, no amount of food is going to take my feelings away permanently, will not resolve the problem permanently. Like nothing good is going to come out of that. And really remembering, right? And then the next layer, like what's really going on? And just going deeper into that work of that self-centered fear, which prompts me with all this other stuff anyway, because it's just a symptom. And it's the educational variety. Some days are just better than others. And I just want to keep focused on my relationship with God, clean house, trust Him, be of service, move forward. And I can't do that without being open. So I can't have that contempt, you know, without investigation. I have to be open, honest, and willing. So thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Margot B. from New York. Brandy? I think it's Brandy M.
Yeah, good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. Thanks, Mo, for your service. Wow, like the spiritual experience is so packed. I actually really enjoy reading this because it gives me so much hope. You know, when it talks about the spiritual, like that the spiritual experience and spiritual awakening, you know, will bring about a personality change. Like, it's crazy because, you know, by as a result of working through the steps and doing the trustful with God and letting God, you know, take care of stuff, my personality is changing without even me putting in the effort to do that. Like, you know, if I'm living according to, you know, my ideals that I wrote up after step, well, during step five, and, you know, if I'm continually like checking on my character defects throughout the day and at night and, you know, and then living in 10, 11, and 12, like my personality is going to change because my outlook is changing. And, but it's not something that like happens overnight. Although I have found that it does happen very quickly. The little things start to change and people do start to notice, like, or I find it really easy to deal with other people because my outlook has changed. But the most, like the biggest thing that I really enjoy in this is the last paragraph where it says, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. These are the essentials of recovery. Like I had to be willing. I had to be in a place where I was beaten so bad that, you know, I was willing to do anything that, you know, was suggested. And I, you know, I always think of the story, like I want somebody to help me, but I'm going to choose like what color of life preserver they send me, or am I just going to, you know, be willing to just accept that that is what it is and move forward with the steps and, you know, what they're telling me. And honesty, like 100% honesty. When I relapsed, my honesty was out the door, and it was out the door for 6 months before I picked up the food. And so today, you know, I ask myself at the end of every day, was I entirely honest with everything in my life? Because if I'm not honest, then my disease is going to come back. And, you know, because my disease will find any loophole in order to get me back into the food. And, you know, open-mindedness, like my way got me, you know, in desperation, life unmanageable, pretty crazy, you know, 350 pounds. That's what my mind got me. So I need to be open that somebody else's mind is better than mine, and that God knows, you know, he brings those people and speaks through them. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Brandy M. from Canada. Audrey M., where are you from? And give us and share, please.
Oh, thank you. It's Audrey N. for Nora, and I'm in County Meath in Ireland. Thank you for your service. Yeah, just really grateful to, you know, read this part. And for me, my experience of coming through program, you know, I kept saying to my sponsor, you know, when am I getting this flash of light? When am I going to get this God moment tumbling out of bed onto my knees, you know? And that didn't happen for me. You know, what happened for me was that experience of over time. It was the educational variety that I got, you know, and it was like the book, you know, I read the stories in the back of the book, and, you know, the identification with some of the stories was that, you know, it was true going through the steps. You know, it was my change of attitude towards people, places and things, you know, how I reacted, you know. Excuse me, as I was getting that spiritual experience. Excuse me. And yeah, it's just, you know, each time I go through the book with a sponsee, I keep saying, you know, we need to go to this appendix too, and we need to read it. And I think it's so important to read that part, because it just, you know, allows people to identify with, you know, what their experience can be, because it's all different for everyone. Just grateful to have read the whole lot of that today, and, you know, grateful to be able to be of service and to, yeah, share my experience, strength and hope on the line. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Audrey M. from Ireland. Betsy O., followed by Karen H. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. This is it's Bessie, B-E-S-S-I-E, O from Colorado.
Sorry.
No problem. Thank you for leading this morning. I am just so moved by this passage this morning, and I kind of closed my eyes as it was being read, and was just, you know, the image that is coming into my mind is January 2020, when, after having been in OA since 2013, I, you know, it wasn't this bright light experience, but I would just say that that was where I felt, you know, I felt like I could just see the truth, and that felt like, you know, tapping into like some part of the inner, you know, this inner resource. It was a start, you know, and I feel like, you know, I have to be careful not to fall into this, like, oh, it took me so long, because there are people where it's taken longer, or, you know, like, oh, it's so, it, like, just putting a lot of judgment, you know, on fast or quick or, you know, whatever it is, for one, you know, I've seen it, and I'm seeing it in my sponsee, and I see it in close fellows, and people who share, you know, it's just amazing that, like, that profound alteration in his reaction to life, and that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. And the, you know, the other thought that's coming to mind is how it's these little things, just like these little ways, these little alterations, just responding different, that I couldn't make myself respond different. You know, I couldn't, and, you know, just as an example, like, just little things like, no, let's listen to what, you know, you want to listen to. All right, let's try doing, you know, the way you want to do it. And that, for me, like, one thought that came to mind when I was doing my writing this morning is like, that's saying, God, you know, you go first. You go, and someone I talk to frequently says, open the door for God to go in first. I don't know how to wrap this all up, except that, you know, there's not anything in this spiritual experience that talks about, you know, about alcohol, because, you know, we put that down, and that was that experience. You know, it was a gradual experience putting down my substances and behaviors. But in January 2020, like, that's just the entry point. And then the spiritual program is really the solution. But I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Betsy O. Before I take Karen H., I want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 567, reading the spiritual experience, reading the entire chapter there, and commenting on the entire thing. After Karen, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Good morning, all. I am so grateful for these passages and this message and differentiating between the spiritual experience and the spiritual awakening. I came into OA, my first meeting, when I was 16 years old. I was raised up in the traditional rooms. I would say that I got a lot of relief, but never recovered. I had many sponsors over the years who told me things like, go to God, turn it over to God. And I had absolutely no idea what they were talking about, nor how to journey in that way. There was a great deal of prejudice on my side from childhood. I was raised up in self-reliance, self-sufficiency, self-power. I was all about fixed managing and controlling and figuring it out. And this is what I thought I had to do to survive. And it was helpful. But unfortunately, it became a hindrance in trying to recover. At one point, after decades of being in the rooms and not really feeling like I was getting it, because I never could get the food portion, always feeling hopeless and powerless and like a failure, I finally, after 8 years of leaving OA, was introduced to a group that was a big book group. And this was the beginning of changing everything. I had come in with very low expectations. I wasn't going to do what I typically did. I used a set-aside prayer of all that I think I knew. And I just thought that I would try a new experience. So I divorced myself from everything physical. I was just going to follow the directions that was laid out. And after 8 months, I had what I would think was a light bulb experience like Bill W. There was a sign outside a 7-Eleven that I took my daughter to, and it said, out of business. And it was like my mind was blown. My daughter laughed and said, oh, my God, Mom, we put 7-Eleven out of business, because that was my morning and night after school ritual of going and getting stashes of junk. And it occurred to me, oh my God, when was the last time I went to 7-Eleven? Oh my God, I think it was 3 months. And then I kept looking back to all the changes, the wonderful 10-step promises that started happening, that I was placed in this wonderful position of neutrality, safe and protected. I hadn't even sworn off. And I attribute this to the slow, gradual awakening that was happening that I wasn't quite aware of, till I had that spiritual moment when it became revealed to me that God was doing for me what I wasn't able to do for myself all those decades in the rooms. Here I am now, 12, 13 years into doing this work, and I am so grateful that I finally found what is the solution, and that is these steps and the power that today I call God. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Karen H. from Illinois. And so, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we're reading page 567, the spiritual experience, the entire chapter, or we're studying that. So I take some more names. Who would like to share?
Diane.
I got you, Diane. Thank you. Sorry. Anyone else?
Audrey M.P. in California.
Audrey M.P. M.P. California. Okay. Who else?
Sherry Josie, Southern California.
I got Sherry. Who was after Sherry?
Janice K.
Janice K. That was who. Okay, thank you, Janice. I think I can take one more.
Cheryl Ann M.
Cheryl Ann M. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, I have Diane N., Audrey M. P., Sherry Jo C., Janice K., and Cheryl Ann M. I think I got that all right. Okay, Diane, you're up first.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for your service today. I'm so grateful for everything that I've heard. My name is Diane N. I'm from Georgia. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful for this reading, the spiritual experience. It reminds me of how we, you know, the how of this program. I used to say that all the time, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. The only thing is I wasn't really honest, open-minded, or, you know, I thought I had willpower. But anyway, I've been in the rooms for over, I came in my 20s, and it's been about over 40 years now, decades, right? My recovery date is from January. It'll be 3 years this coming January 2020. And when this was being read, I was reminded, that's why I wanted to share, of how my recovery was of the educational variety. One day, it was during the pandemic. I was just doing my work in my program because, you know, we were isolated. And couldn't go anywhere. So I walked, I talked to fellows, I attended meetings. And one day my husband said to me and my son, he said, "Oh, you're losing weight." And they were talking about how I was changing. And I hadn't even realized it. It's as if a miracle. I don't know if I received the gift of desperation. Well, I know I received the gift of desperation, but I believe I finally accepted it. In addition to that, I thought, you know, I talked about it. The big book talks about it works if you work it. I worked the program. I just took the action. I just started doing the work. I took action. And so I received that I had a spiritual experience of the educational variety. I no longer had to fight the food. It was as if a miracle had just occurred. And it's been like that ever since. I don't have to fight the food. I just work the program. I just live in steps 10, 11, and 12. I can't say that enough. Because there could be someone on the phone today who can say, "Well, I've been in the rooms 40 years and I'm still having problems," or "there's no hope." Or it could be someone in the rooms that's new today. But wherever you are, this program is for you. The weight came off. I don't have to fight the food. It's as if my higher power just gave me a beautiful gift. And I know the gift has been there all along. It's just that I couldn't accept it. I was too busy wanting to do things Diane's way, wanting everybody to follow my directions. Finally, I decided to let God handle it, and the miracle just happened. And I just felt like I needed to share that in case someone else, if you're new or old, you know, a newcomer in the rooms, you don't have to go through all of those years because it's the same miracle that they're talking about, this spiritual experience. Even though mine was not, I didn't receive it immediately like Bill, but mine was of the educational variety, and for that I'm grateful. So I'm grateful for everything I've heard today. Thank you guys for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Diane N. from Georgia. Audrey M. P., your turn. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Audrey M. P. I'm calling from California. It's blue skies in Santa Monica, and then thank you, Team Wednesday and Mo. It's great to hear your voice. I signed up, here's a shameless plug, I signed up for the OA birthday party today, which is in January, and wow, you know, I'm from LA, that's my inner group, and I never thought I could, and it was just so nice to see so many faces from Vision. Because, you know, we get on the phone lines every day and we don't see each other, but we all connect through spirit, through God, through this big book. And And I'm up early this morning. I'm writing out this 10th step on a person I can't get out of my head. And, you know, I have all these ideas in my mind, what's happening in the relationship. And it's pure contempt. It's pure contempt. Like, I haven't asked the questions. Like, is this going to happen? Is this what's going to, you know, I haven't asked the questions. And I just remember, you know, I was like working with a newcomer and you know, she didn't understand why she had to do what she had done. And sometimes I question, why do I have to do what everybody else does in this program, right? Why do I have to, why are these food restrictions so important, and what's going to replace them? And I know in order for me to get to the spiritual awakening that I need to be embedded in steps 2 and 3. And I, you know, the holiday went by. It was a difficult holiday. I was still abstinent. I didn't make the best choices, but I was still abstinent. And someone said, you know, do you, we went down the list. I did a 10 step, went down the list of all the things I was powerless over on Thanksgiving Day. And of course, the food didn't make a difference. I heard somebody say, like, permanently, it never does. And that was me taking back my power. Like, now I think when I pick up or make a poor choice, right? I'm not breaking my abstinence. I'm not starting over day one. When I make a poor choice, I think that is contempt for my higher power to take care of me, to let my spiritual awakening work through me. And, you know, the list of resentments. Here's the thing about this program. If anybody's new and coming in, you just want to lose weight and go, I welcome you. I welcome you. Come in, lose your weight. See what happens here. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you, Audrey MP from California. Just reminding everybody, we're on page 567, reading that chapter, Spiritual Experience. Sherry Jo C., up next, followed by Janice K. Good morning, Sherry Jo.
Good morning. Good morning, Mo. This is Sherry Jo C. in Southern California, recovered and grateful. Thank you so much for the meeting and the topic. And yeah, it's a great reading. I have to laugh because, you know, personality change sufficient for recovery. So I came into OA in December, 33 years ago, and it took me about 6 months to get put my abstinence together. But by the grace of God, I've been abstinent and maintaining a medically healthy weight and relationship with food since that time. And what happened for me was after I was able to put down the food, I was working the steps, I had a sponsor, I was doing the work, as other people have said. And I was at work one day, and I worked at a pretty big advertising agency, and back then we had secretaries, you know, for each of the departments. We had about 15 people in our department. And I can remember one day I was walking past her desk, and the first profound change was there was always a big bowl of candy on her desk, which I would have grabbed, you know, a big handful of when I went past. Well, I hadn't done that for weeks. You know, it was early recovery, but nonetheless, you know, that was already a profound change that I wasn't, you know, I was a moment by moment binger. I couldn't make it from here to the mailbox without binging. And so that was pretty dramatic in the first place, just my physical behavior. But one day she said to me, I walked past her desk and she said to me, hey, and I stopped and I said, hey. And she goes, you're different. And I go, what do you mean? And she goes, you're different. And then she walked away. And it was so funny because I knew what she was saying. What she was saying was, you're not quite as much of a bitch anymore. And I, you know, it's so funny because I laugh looking back and it was like, Yeah, because I was in the food, and basically that was the only thing that mattered to me. I was like a bulldozer, get out of my way. And, you know, the whole day sneaking and hiding. I mean, my whole day at work, it was amazing that I managed to even, you know, put a work day together, because it was, you know, that was back in the day of vending machines. And I don't even know if there are vending machines at workplaces anymore. Like, I wouldn't even go there literally or figuratively, but like my whole day was just like binging in my cubicle and doing, you know, data programming on my computer like a little mouse. And, you know, talk about a profound alteration. I mean, I got involved in my local groups. I found a home group. My home group, if anything brought about a spiritual awakening for me, it was my home group. They became, for the first 11 years of my recovery, the backbone of everything for me. And it was a rock solid group in Detroit, Michigan, Sinai Hospital, Saturday mornings. And I found my first sponsor there. And, you know, my own personal experience is that, you know, recovery is in the moment, and nobody else can live those for us, you know, and my mm-hmm. moments aren't the same. Thank you. My moments are my moments. And it's this string of experiences and commitments to me that, you know, that's what recovery is. And I'm just ever grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry Josie from California. Janice K, followed by Cheryl Ann M. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. This is Janice K in Oregon. Okay, in this paragraph, oh my, there's so much that speaks to me. There's the phrase, a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. I look at that and I think, okay, what has to change to help me deal with food? Oh boy, let's keep going and find out. Is it a sudden and spectacular upheaval? No. What the sudden and spectacular upheaval did was not give me an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed by a vast change in feeling and outlook. It gave me hope. It gave me a concept of God that was loving and kind and would wrap itself around me. And there were many times I took shelter in that warm presence and peeked out and worked at diminishing. I took refuge in the God of my hopes and dreams and used the comfort of his presence to dismantle the presence of the God of my dread and terror, which was what I had inherited from my family of origin and my community. Most of our experience are the educational variety because they develop slowly over the period of time. Eventually, God is growing into the God of my hopes and dreams. Occasionally, the God of my dread and terror comes up, typically when I take charge. But when I surrender to the God of my hopes and dreams, I have a profound alteration in my reaction to life that I could hardly have brought about on my own. I was in a meeting recently and someone shared that there are light givers in life and there are light takers. I tried for years to be a light giver, and when I tried on my own, I was only a determined Pollyanna. If I want to give away light, I have to have that source readily available within me. And the awareness of that light is the essence of the spiritual experience, and I am one of the religious members who calls it God consciousness. There was a time the God of my fears and dreads brought about an attitude of intolerance and belligerent denial. Willingness. I look at program and my current opinion, okay, which is subject to change, is that certain things are simply gifts of grace.
Okay.
Abstinence. Thank you. I'll finish up. Abstinence, willingness, and humility are all states of grace, and they all rise from the spiritual experience. Thank you for listening, Tess.
Thank you, Janice K. And up next, we'll have Cheryl Ann M. Good morning, Cheryl Ann.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning to this dream team that puts this meeting together. You do for me what I'm just incapable of doing. I could never understand or comprehend the spiritual experience. My name is Cheryl Ann. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive eater, and I reside in Rhode Island. If I never accepted the depth and weight of the doctor's opinion, how do I explain a nanosecond of time what happened to me in the spiritual experience? Well, if God has me wake up December 10th in a few more days, this is just what happened to me and for me. God did for me what I was incapable of doing for myself. I did not ask for it. It was a Thursday morning, a little after 11 a.m. I had been maintaining 150-pound weight loss. I was no longer breaking furniture. I had been in program since 1978. I came in a 22-year-old woman, but I was miserable. I was just a miserable woman because I never had a spiritual awakening. I'd just been through many big book step studies, followed every diet, didn't use the fellowship for support because I actually, quite honestly, quite embarrassingly, I couldn't stand people. So I didn't use any of you as a support system because the fellowship is here for support. They'll never change me. Only the steps will change me. So I just surrendered I said, God, if you're out there, please just take my life. I wanted to die, and I never had the courage, and I think it takes courage to die. And I said, just die, just take me. I don't care if I die. And instead, he just yanked inside my black 4-year-old dehydrated black heart. And instead of killing me or striking me dead, he had this hot red, rehydrated, bright red pumping heart and gave me full of life. And I have not once since that very moment, almost 2 years ago, I was struck entirely abstinent. I did not have a sponsor. Let me say in full disclosure, I was not working the steps. I was not involved in any, I listened to Vision, but I did not have any, you know, I was not actively involved in anything. I was, it was a miracle that occurred. It was a full white light experience. All took less than a nanosecond. And then, of course, the next day, I got a big book sponsor to formally go through the steps so I could teach the steps to my sponsees. And it's been the best life ever since. And I have never asked why ever since, because why? Asking why is just not a spiritual question. And I thank you all for this very moment. God bless you all. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Cheryl Ann M. We have time for like a one-minute share if somebody would like to take it. Otherwise, we'll close a little early. Good time for newcomers.
Hi, this is Donna.
Lorraine W.
I can just take Donna. A minute, Donna.
Okay, I'll keep it brief. I'd like to comment on the last paragraph of the spiritual awakening. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. I'd like to zero on in the principle is contempt prior to investigation. And I came from another program. My sponsor of 4 years suggested I listen to recovery, relationships and recovery, which brought me to Vision for You. I have always thought Vision for You is nice, but, you know, it takes them so long to bring you through the steps. You have to start at step one if you pick up food. I had all these ideas about it, and I was from a program that brings you through the steps in 2 weeks. So I started to listen. And then I was led here, and I got a sponsor here in Vision for You. And yes, we're going slowly, but we're covering everything, and it is so wonderful. And I'm glad that
Okay.
So thank you for letting me share.
And where are you from, Donna?
I am from Florida.
Thank you very much for your share. Okay, so with that, we will now close with the big book reading from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Sherry Z to read that for us. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, and thank you all for your service. This is Sherry Z, recovered in Los Angeles. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.